How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, baby. I'm excited. We are so excited to be with you guys. Christina and I have the privilege of sharing with you. Okay, I'm sharing with you tonight what God has put on our hearts. This privilege has also come with some challenges because Christina and I have different ways of teaching and preaching. So this is, in fact, the best combo, like the box combo at Raising Cane's. Am I right? Yeah? Sam knows what I'm talking about, wherever he's at. He knows. He works there. So here we go. Tonight, we are going to look at God's faithfulness. But what does faithfulness actually look like? The Bible uses four different words to describe it, describe faithful in Hebrew and Greek. We don't really have time to dissect all these four words because that would take a long time. But the substance of these words from Scripture is steady, reliable, and trustworthy. So keep these words in mind as we talk through God's faithfulness. So in human terms, these words can be best found in marriage, but only if the words match the actions. There are many things that are said in marriage vows, like in sickness and in health, until death do we part. But it is only when these words are linked with actions that it can be truly faithful to our spouse. We can be truly faithful to our spouse. So, I have a funny story. We had the opportunity to go on a cruise to Rome. We're on this cruise, we land in Rome, and we are on the outskirts of the city. And we have to take a train to our Airbnb. It was really hot, and we had a lot of luggage, and we had decided to walk to the train. But there were taxis offering rides, and I asked them, how far is it to the train station? And they told me, half a mile. And I was like, okay, that's not bad. So I tell Christina that we can just walk to the train station, which she didn't really want to do. Well, the taxi driver was wrong, and we walked about 2 miles to this train station, and all the meanwhile, Christina is complaining throughout this time, like the Israelites in the wilderness, and eventually, we get to the train station, which would take us near to our Airbnb, and we would walk across and find it. Well, that wasn't true. So we got lost again, and Christina complained again. But finally we found it, and we walked around so much, yet Christina stuck with me. Even as I walked ahead of her, and even as I, and how we got lost on multiple occasions and couldn't find anything, and we were just lost together. So she proved to me that in this moment, to be reliable and loyal in spite of her complaints. So this is an example of the limits of human faithfulness and shows in a small way that we can never be perfectly faithful. This limited capacity is due to sin. Sin makes us unsteady, unreliable, and untrustworthy. There is only one who can be faithful to the utmost, and that is God. God cannot and will not sin. So let's take a look at some scriptures that describe God's faithfulness. So I'm going to welcome up our good friend, KG, up here as she reads our scripture. Give it up. Come on.
Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments.
Oh, the other one.
And 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Christine's going to come up.
Hey, in my defense, I was wearing pants,
and it was really hot, and we had way too much luggage. Just, okay? But I probably shouldn't have complained as much as I did. I'm going to pray. Jesus, you are so faithful and so, so good to us, Lord. Help us grasp and understand just a little bit of that tonight, Lord. Speak through me and Michael, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. We love you, God. Amen.
Amen.
So I think these scriptures are such a beautiful description of this part of God's character. In fact, the verse in Timothy is one of my favorites. Writing this sermon was really hard, not because I had to do it with Mike, but because it was a hard subject, but because God's faithfulness is shown in every story of the Bible. I challenge you to read it and find out. And I think to grasp the full depth of his faithfulness, it is important to look at the whole of Scripture. However, the Bible is huge, if you haven't noticed, and has too much to cover in the amount of time that we have. So we're just going to take a look at one example. So let's take a look at the life of Abraham. If you don't know Abraham, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. After the flood takes place in Genesis, so we are given a genealogy of Noah's family, and it focuses on a man named Abraham. When we are introduced to Abraham, we are told that Abraham is 75 years old, and he and his wife can't have children. The Lord speaks to him and tells him to separate himself from his family, to go to a land that the Lord will give him, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through Abraham. Abraham listens, sort of. He brings his nephew Lot with him. This disobedience, or unfaithfulness, causes Abraham a lot of problems. Lot is taken captive when a war breaks out in the city that he lives in, and then Abraham has to go fight to get Lot back. It's a pretty crazy mess, but the Lord is with Abraham as he promised and he would be when he called Abraham to the new land. After this war, the events of Genesis 15 take place. So let's open our Bibles and take a look at this passage. Michael, can you come read it? Not that Michael. Different Michael.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Abraham also said, "Since you have given me no son, one who has been born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he credited to him his righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." But he said, "Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Then God said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the wrongdoing of the Amorite is not yet complete." Now it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, a smoke oven and a flaming torch appeared, which passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Woo!
So this is a lot of information, I know, but let's just look at it one piece at a time. In the beginning of this passage, we find the Lord reassuring Abraham that just as he was with him in the battle to get Lot back, he will continue to be with him and reward him. And Abraham responds pretty honestly.
What good is a reward if I have no heir to give it to? Right now, all I have is Eliezer, and we aren't even related. God again reassures Abraham. No, I will give you an heir and many, many other descendants and this land. And Abraham believes him, but he doesn't fully trust the Lord yet and asks for more reassurance. So the Lord kindly responds to Abraham and asks him to bring him some animals. To us, this is a really strange request, but to Abraham, it made perfect sense. The Lord was offering to make a covenant or a promise with Abraham, specifically a special kind of covenant, which was made between powerful nations or rulers. So I'm going to explain. Rulers, when making a promise for peace or alliances or things like that, would take an animal sacrifice. They would take the animal, or animals in this case, cut them in half, and lay them on two altars with a space in between. Both parties would pass through the space between the animals as a symbol of what would happen to them if either of them should break their part of the promise. They would die. This is pretty intense, right? But here's the thing. If you notice in this story, Abraham does not pass through the pieces at all. Only God does, in the form of fire. God knows that Abraham and his descendants after him will not be faithful to this covenant because of sin and selfishness. So God is committing to take on the consequences of their sin and selfishness, even though he will not be the one to break the covenant. Tim Keller says it this way. God is saying, I will take the curse of the covenant for both of us. May I be cut off if I do not fulfill my part of the bargain, and Abraham, may I be cut off if you don't fulfill yours. I will bless you even if it means I have to die. And that is exactly what happened. Sorry. Through the years, God was faithful to his part of the covenant, making Abraham's descendants into the nation of Israel, blessing them and giving them the land that he promised. Though they continually, over and over again, rebelled and suffered the consequences of their actions. He sent Jesus, his son and descendant of Abraham, to bless the nations. Jesus lived the faithful life. He is steady, he is reliable, and he is trustworthy. He never sinned and was never unfaithful. He was faithful in a way that no one else could be or is. Yet, he was cut off from the land of the living for our unfaithfulness to fulfill the covenant God made with Abraham. But because Jesus is God and not just a man, he rose from the dead that we might live eternally with him, establishing a new and better covenant, not based on the actions of man, but on the work that he accomplished on the cross. In Hebrews 10:12-14, it says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So cool. I believe this story demonstrates beautifully and perfectly God's faithfulness. But I also want to share with you that his faithfulness is not limited to the times and the stories of Scripture, but it is extended to all. And to show that, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. So the whole of my early life consisted of going to church on Sundays, attending Christian school, having Bible class every week, and doing all the right things. I thought this is what it meant to be a Christian. In fact, I took pride in it. But inside, I was selfish, bitter, and hated people, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. The summer before my senior year, I realized that I was wrong and there had to be something more to being a Christian. I just couldn't figure it out or put my finger on exactly what that was. Flash forward a whole year. I'm moving into my dorm, my first year in college, and I met this really sweet girl named Abby. There she is. She was a part of an organization called Chi Alpha. I had never heard of it, but I wanted friends, so when she invited me to a party, I went. It was unlike any party I'd ever been to. People were hanging out, loving each other, and just having fun. And Abby genuinely wanted to know me. She didn't want anything from me. It was really crazy. I never had a friend like that. I thought it was really weird, honestly. I thought there was, like, this ulterior motive, and I was just waiting for the day that he was going to, like, spring it on me, you know? And so when she asked me to go to Chi Alpha and her small group, I was like, sure, I don't have any other friends except for my roommate. Why not, you know? And then she invited me to be a part of her small group, and I went. And I thought that I had all of the answers that she had questions for. And I was like, I know this, I know this, I know this. It's probably a huge turd, kind of annoying. But I didn't have all the answers. I just thought I did. And one day, the Lord showed me what I was missing. I was doing all of the right things, but with a rebellious heart, because I did not have a relationship with him. I didn't trust him. I was just living my life, my way, with the appearance of being a Christian, but not the reality of it. But he was faithful. Faithful to pursue me with Abby, to show me his hand in my life when I thought that I had been doing all the stuff in my own power. But in reality, he was there all along. As I began to have an actual relationship with Jesus, he began to ask me to step out in faith by trusting him and obeying him and the things that he asked of me. That faith led me to leadership training class, mission trips, leading a small group, becoming a missionary, a wife, moving all the way to New Mexico, and many other things in between. I would be lying to you, though, if I told you that I trusted him always and obeyed him always. And I've had to repent many, many times. But he has been faithful in every moment, and I know that he will continue to be faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Man, so good. Me and Christina have very different testimonies, but the Lord has really brought us together. It's pretty crazy. We have radically different testimonies, but I want to share with you this thing. The faithfulness of God in our lives has come through as we have stepped out into our uncomfortable periods or out of our comfort zones and trusted him. In my life, I had been an intern and staff with Sam Houston Chi Alpha, but I didn't know what was next. And long story short, I had to decide whether to go to a different mission, to do a different missionary work, or to go in the workforce. Maybe some of you are here trying to decide that yourself right now. And I went to this thing called the World Mission Summit. It's a huge, huge Chi Alpha event, Chi Alpha conference. And I met an old friend that used to lead the Chi Alpha International movement, International Student Movement, and he was actually going to help lead this group in Spain called International Media Ministry. And I was a radio television major, so this really spoke to me. The Lord started speaking to me. And this was based in Madrid, Spain. So Huntsville, Texas to Madrid, Spain. Big step. And so I felt the Lord speak to me, so I went. I raised more support, and I went and served IMM for a year and a half. Going away from all my friends that I knew and embarking upon the next step in trusting God over my comfort. Trusting God over my comfort. I remember it to this day. So while there, I was able to lead a small group with a church I was with. It was International Church Madrid. And crazy things happened. I was in this small group, and I was the only American in there. And I had friends from Ethiopia, Philippines, Afghanistan, and many, many other nations. And I was able to lead this. And you're seeing pictures right there. Those are some of my great friends I missed. And I remember walking out of the train station, and this led, as I was actually going to small group, this led to the light bulb moment in my head. It just, and I was like, Lord, you're preparing me to go reach international students. just clicked. And I'm like, oh, man, thank you, Lord. I had no clue where you were leading me next. And so this spoke to me. And then I read this verse in Psalms 22:27. It says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. So it's not just the Great Commission that wants us to go reach the nations. It's all the Bible. It's a side note. So I came to NMSU to reach the nations for Jesus because I kept on trusting God with the next step. So here I am. I arrived in Las Cruces on April 23rd of 2013, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right. I want to be honest with you and tell you, I had never heard of Las Cruces. And I wasn't really that excited to live in the desert, not gonna lie. But I was invited by Alex and Abby Rodriguez. And they had come there in 2012, the summer of 2012, and to get settled and to get ready to be on campus. By the end of summer of 2013, there would be 14 friends who were part of Chi Alpha at Sam Houston State in Las Cruces and one graduate from NMSU coming together to reach the university, to reach more than the university. I'm going to show that picture up real quick. Nope, different. Other picture. Okay. Well, we had all these friends from Sam Houston coming up, and then, crazy enough, God started moving in several of our students who ended up becoming small group leaders. Some of those students were a girl named Sarah McEachran, yeah. Shannon Collins, yeah. This year, a guy named Vadim Witt, yeah. If y'all know him, and then Taylor Cruz. Yeah. Yeah. All of whom are great men and women of God that discipled others. There were many departures from this original staff throughout the years, but the Lord raised many student small group leaders to come on staff with us. And that's them. And there's more coming. And it's great. And then the staff now are taking responsibility for the campus that they graduated from so that NMSU students may know Jesus. This is one of the greatest things to see. This is one of the greatest things for me and Christina to see, is you guys stepping up and going to share Jesus with people. It's quite amazing to see that. The Lord is already working on and building up the next generation. The next generation of men and women that are going to go out and fight for this campus. So, this is another of many, many reasons why God is the faithful God. The only steady, reliable, and trustworthy one.
So just like all of God's characteristics, talked about this at the beginning, his faithfulness invites a response from us, right? Everything that God is, we should respond to. But we must choose how we are going to respond to God's faithfulness. Will we have faith in him? Meaning, will we trust and obey his commands? I'm not talking about blind faith. It's never meant to be that. But faith grounded in God's character, which he has shown time and time again throughout Scripture and throughout all of our lives, everybody in this room. And the two main things he asks of us is to love him and love our neighbor. We love him by doing what he commands, and we love others by teaching them about Jesus and how to walk with him.
So, the final words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven was this. In Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, is teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. And this gives us the key to loving others and making disciples. If we, as Chi Alpha and MSU, continue to grow closer to Jesus and his heart, this could be a great army of ambassadors for Christ. God has called me and Christina to a different place to be ambassadors for him for many reasons. But one of the main reasons is to let you guys grow and take responsibility for this Chi Alpha. So we can envision in 2 or 3 years coming back, seeing this place 200 to 300 men and women strong, loving Jesus together, becoming great friends, growing closer. But this can only happen if you trust Jesus to make disciples of all the nations. You have to trust him. So we want to challenge you, each of you, tonight, to reflect on your lives up until this moment. And some of you guys are thinking about it, I can tell. And see how God has been faithful to you. And write it down and keep it in your Bible so you'll never forget. A memorial. If you have never trusted or obeyed him, but want to now, talk to him. Confess any sin in your life. For in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from any unrighteousness. And take a step of trust and obedience by choosing him tonight. Then get to know him and begin sharing what he is going to do with you and share it with others. If you have trusted him before but aren't making disciples, talk with him, confess it, and repent. And he will give you the next step for you in making disciples, making more friends. If you are actively trusting in him and making disciples, worship, be thankful, and continue daily by obeying the next thing he has placed in front of you. Obeying the next thing he has placed in front of you. So tonight we're gonna set some time away for Jesus to come, for you to examine and to think about what the Lord has done in your life and to write it down. There's some paper up here that you guys, some of you guys don't bring notebooks, which I totally understand, but we have paper here for you to write it down and to think about it and to think about how he's been faithful and what you're going to trust him to be faithful in for the future. So as we leave, Justin's going to play for a little bit and we're just going to take some time to be with Jesus. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it, guys.